ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Dhruva was seated in the transcendental airplane, which was just about to start, when he remembered his poor mother, Suniti. He thought to himself, "How shall I go alone to the Vaikuntha planet and leave behind my poor mother?" Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dhruva had a feeling of obligation to his mother, Suniti. It was Suniti who gave him the clue which had enabled him to now be personally carried to the Vaikuntha planet by the associates of Lord Vishnu. He now remembered her and wanted to take her with him. Actually, Dhruva Maharaja's mother, Suniti, was his Patha Pradarshaka Guru. Patha Pradarshaka Guru means the guru or the spiritual master who shows the way. Such a guru is sometimes called Shiksha Guru. Although Narada Muni was his Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master, Suniti, his mother, was the first who gave him instruction on how to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is the duty of the Shiksha Guru or Diksha Guru to instruct the disciple in the right way, and it depends on the disciple to execute the process. According to Shastra conjunctions, there is no difference between Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. And generally, the Shiksha Guru later on becomes the Diksha Guru. Suniti, however, being a woman, and specifically his mother, could not become Dhruva Maharaja's Diksha Guru. Still, he was not less obliged to Suniti. There was no question of carrying Narada Muni to Vaikuntha Loka, but Dhruva Maharaj thought of his mother. Whatever plan the Supreme Personality of Godhead contemplates immediately fructifies. Similarly, a devotee who is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord can also fulfill his wishes by the grace of the Lord. The Lord fulfills his wishes independently, but a devotee fulfills his wishes simply by being dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as soon as Dhruva Maharaj thought of his poor mother, he was assured by the associates of Vishnu that Suniti was going to Vaikuntha Loka in another plane. Dhruva Maharaj had thought that he was going alone to Vaikuntha Loka, leaving behind his mother, which was not very auspicious, because people would criticize him for going alone to Vaikuntha Loka and not carrying with him Suniti. She had given him so much. But Dhruva also considered that he was not personally the supreme. Therefore, if Krishna fulfilled his desires, only then would it be possible. Krishna could immediately understand his mind, and he told him that his mother was also going with him. This incident proves that a pure devotee like Dhruva Maharaj can fulfill all his desires by the grace of the Lord. He becomes exactly like the Lord, and thus, whenever he thinks of anything, his wish is immediately fulfilled. Dhruva was seated in the transcendental airplane, which is just about to start, when he remembered his poor mother, Suniti. He thought to himself, "How shall I go alone to the Vaikuntha planet and leave behind my poor mother. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 12, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Goes Back to Godhead. Text number 32. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavat, we find many critical instructions which are essential to understand in order to make proper spiritual progress. When Dhruva was just 5 years old, he was going to sit upon the lap of his father to receive the natural affection and shelter that a child of that age needs. But his stepmother, Suruchi, very harshly, cruelly chastised him that because he was born of a lower woman, he had no right to sit with his father on the throne. Uttanapada, his father, was so much attached to his young and beautiful wife, he did not want to displease her. Therefore, he said nothing. Dhruva Maharaj was emotionally traumatized because he was not getting the support that his father should have given him. His heart and mind were so broken. He began weeping, trembling. He ran to his mother, who had already heard what had happened. When Suniti saw the condition of her child, her heart broke because she knew there was nothing she could do about it. Her beautiful face became like a withered lotus flower. She became pale. Tears of shame and despondency fell from her eyes. As she admitted to Dhruva, what your stepmother is saying is right. I am not favored by your father, and therefore you have to suffer. Dhruva, being a little Kshatriya, he spoke probably the way many other children would speak in extremes when something like this happens. If you don't give me this, I will kill myself. Yes, have you ever heard children speak like this? He said, I want a kingdom greater than my father, even my grandfather and my great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. How do I get that? And his mother, broken-hearted, weeping, tried to give some direction to her child. She said, whatever one's desires can be fulfilled by worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Well, where is he? Where is he? I have been told that great sages and rishis find him in the forest. She was not expecting what Dhruva was about to do. That five-year-old child just left home and went into the forest. And it wasn't the forest like Gita Nagari, with nice peacocks and devotees chanting japa and little Jamuna rivers. He went into the deep forest. He went to Vrindavan, to Madhuban. See? And it was an isolated forest. There were snakes and lions. All sorts of dangers. And where is a child of 5 years old going to find something to eat? Can you imagine the grief of his mother when he went into that forest? Whoever of you are mothers, think about it. Your five-year-old child just leaves home and goes right into the deep, dark, dense forest where there's no human civilization. Angry as anything. So for Suniti, this was a great, great trauma.
But Dhruva was, he took her instruction to heart so deeply. He was so eager for Krishna. He had such intense greed for Krishna. But Krishna reciprocated. When Krishna sees that we really sincerely have a desire, or even if we once did have a desire, he will reciprocate. And how does he reciprocate? By giving us the association of his devotees. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. So he sent Srila Narada Muni. It's not that he just happened to be walking through the forest and saw Dhruva. He came specifically to deliver him. First he tested him. Dhruva, you're a Kshatriya. You shouldn't take these things so seriously. You should just go home. You should go home and you should just, you know, and do nice, peaceful activities. Dhruva Maharaj, hearing the elaborate instructions of Narada Muni, how he should just not take it so seriously, go home, be normal, meditate, forgive, be clean, peaceful. Dhruva said, I know whatever you're saying is true, but it does not sit within my heart. I want a kingdom greater than my father or grandfather. Hare Krishna. I want to see Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he gave him some, he passed the test. He was serious. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, unless you're very, very serious, you should not really approach a spiritual master. So Dhruva Maharaj listened to Narada Muni's instructions. He fixed his mind on the beautiful form of the Lord. He worshipped the deity of the Lord. He constantly chanted the holy name of the Lord and performed very severe austerities. And within several months, he actually had the vision of the Lord. And we know the beautiful verse from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya, where the Lord offered him the fulfillment of all of his desires. And Dhruva said, I came looking for broken pieces of glass, but I have achieved the rare diamond of your darshan. I want nothing else. So the Lord gave him bhakti, gave him love, gave him devotion, which is the purushartha siromani. It is the crest jewel of all goals of life. And then sent Dhruva back home. And his father made him king. He ruled the world for 36,000 years in very perfect Krishna consciousness. We know the story of the Yakshas. They killed his brother Uttam, who happened to be his stepbrother, who was sitting on, who was Saruchi's son, who she favored. He had no sense of revenge or avenge for Uttama. After his heart became pure, he became the sincere well-wisher of everyone. So he had to fight a major battle with the Yakshas, single-handedly. And in that battle, the Yakshas, by their mystical power, they created such unbelievable illusions. Dhruva Maharaj saw tidal waves coming at him. He saw lions and tigers like coming from like rainstorm from a sky, and venomous snakes, hideous beings attacking him and screaming from all sides. It was such an unbelievable spectacle of fear that even the great Dhruva Maharaj became momentarily bewildered by it. But then the great sages cried out, remember Krishna, remember Krishna. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoya Andhakar Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Adhikar. All the fear of this world is due to the darkness of ignorance. But Krishna is like the sun. In the presence of the sun, ignorance, darkness cannot exist. So just by remembering Krishna, just by chanting the Krishna's name, all of this fearful, illusory energy that was succumbing Dhruva vanished. And by that remembrance of the Lord, katanchana smriteyashmin dushkaram sukaram vatmai. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, one who remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even very difficult things become easy to achieve. But one who forgets the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even easy things become very impossible. But the question is how we remember, not superficially. When the Bhagavatam talks about remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it means taking shelter. Prahlad Maharaj perfected the art of smaranam. Saravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandhanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. There are 9 processes of devotional service. And if we really take shelter of any of those 9, we can achieve perfection. Prahlad was not just remembering, like sometimes we chant our japa, where we're thinking about what we're going to do today, or we're thinking about what's in the news today. So many things are occupying our hearts, and we're chanting, which is like some sort of a background music that just gives a mood to all our other thoughts. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And we're thinking, I will do this, and I will do this, and I will get that person. Yes, it's nonsense. Why he's doing like this? Why she's doing this? I never... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So chanting of Hare Krishna is not background sound vibration. That's not really remembering. Prahlad Maharaj, who was the embodiment of remembering, Vyabhashayatmaka buddhya rekeha kurunandana bahushaka hinantascha buddhayo vyabhashayanam. When he was thrown in a pit of snakes, he was not thinking, oh no, what's going to happen, these snakes? I wonder how many snakes there are. I wonder how many teeth they have that they're going to bite me with, and how much venom they have. And Hiranyakashipu, my father, that demon, that rascal, I didn't do anything wrong. Why is he doing this to me? And in the background, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Ah, he was completely one-pointed, focused, absorbed in remembering Krishna. He was taking shelter of Krishna as his only hope, his only salvation. That's what it means to really remember Krishna with one's heart, with one's soul, in absorption, as our only shelter. Prabhupada in the purport explains that Dhruva Maharaj completely, 100% depended on Krishna. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj, who was the same age, was totally dependent on Krishna. This is how he remembered. And when we remember Krishna in that way, Krishna Surya Sam Mayahoya Andakar, Krishna, according to how we're absorbed, according to how we depend with shelter in Krishna, that Krishna will reciprocate. Krishna will reveal himself. This is what bhakti is about. Not just ritual. Not just social functions. It's about sincerely taking shelter from the core of our hearts in total absorption. And all our rituals and all our social functions and everything else we do is meant to facilitate coming to that state. Without you, Krishna, there's nothing that can save me. That's our goal. Wholehearted taking shelter, taking refuge of Krishna in his name, in his form, in his teachings, in his devotees. So So Dhruva Maharaj remembered Krishna in that way, and all the illusions of Maya disappeared. And then he was really empowered. These rascals, what nonsense they're doing to this world. He started shooting arrows that was literally massacring these yakshas. There were tens and thousands of them, and Dhruva was just individually, personally empowered to destroy them. And the yakshas were finished. They had no strength, they had no power left, and Dhruva was, he just kept pulverizing them. But the yakshas worship Kuvera, who happens to be treasurer of devatas. So Kuvera came down on his airplane and informed Dhruva Maharaj that you've already destroyed them. They're not fighting anymore. Whoever's alive, spare them, please. Just let them be. And Dhruva Maharaj, who was humble, truly a humble devotee, he honored his senior. Kuvera was senior to him in age. He was senior to him in his position as a demigod. So he stopped fighting. Out of compassion and obedience to a superior. Although he was the king of the entire world, still he was eager to be obedient to people who are senior to him. Kuvera was so pleased, that he offered him any benediction. The treasurer of the demigods, he could give nice benedictions. He could give any type of house, any type of vehicle to travel in, all kinds of wealth, positions. He could give planets. He offered Dhruva anything. Dhruva asked for only one benediction, that with unflinching faith, he would always remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all situations. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the only thing he wanted was to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Which shows that remembering Krishna in that spirit of servant of the servant of the servant is more valuable than any wealth, any position in this entire creation. And it's being offered to everyone and anyone. 24 hours a day, whatever our position, the greatest wealth is there, the holy name of the Lord. We could remember the Lord so easily by just chanting. But we have to understand how valuable the name of the Lord is. Otherwise, we take it cheaply. Just after this, Dhruva Maharaj decided to retire. He placed his son as king, and to completely fix his mind on Krishna without any of the distractions of ruling a nation, he went to Badrikashram. How many of you have been to Badrikashram? It's high in the Himalayas. Today you can drive there from Rishikesh. About 10-12 hours, you can get to Joshi Math or Jyotir Math, which is a very sacred place. It was the bhajan place of Sripad Shankaracharya. One of his maths is there, and also his sacred worshipable deity, because Shankaracharya was a Vaishnav. He may have taught all kinds of various philosophical ideas on the order of Lord Krishna, but he was a Vaishnav. He worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His personal Ishtadev is a Joshi Math. It is a deity of Lord Narasimhadev, made out of pure Shalagram Shila, about this big, as I remember. Because after Lord Narasimhadev liberated Hiranyakashipu, by performing that very, very serious surgical operation upon him. Narasingadev, actually, he fought with Hiranyakashipu all day. It was an all-day operation. He went to Joshimat to rest. And he sat like this. And the demigods came and honored him and glorified him. And then when he left that place, the demigods prayed, please don't leave, don't leave. So he left behind this deity, beautiful deity. And many, many, many years later, Shankaracharya found that deity. It was revealed to him and he worshipped him there. There from Joshimat, you have to go a very, very steep hill, mountain, to reach Badrinath. 6 to 7 months a year, no one can go there. It's completely covered by snow. Deity of Badri Vishal, they just close the temple, lock it, and it's accepted that the demigods come and worship him there for that 6 months. Then in the spring, sometime in the month of May, the Raval, the head pujari, comes up and opens the door and begins his worship again. Hare Krishna. So that's the place Dhruva Maharaj went to do his worship. Because he saw that his all of these relationships and attachments, they're all there as a service to Krishna. And he lovingly, caringly, affectionately, responsibly performed his services to Krishna. Family was grown up, child was king, mother was protected, wife was protected, everything was good, everyone was happy. At that time, he went to Badrinath. There, he completely immersed his mind in samadhi, in remembrance of Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. We read in today's verse, an airplane from Vaikuntha came right before Dhruva. And there was Nanda and Sunanda, two of the intimate servants of Lord Vishnu, personally came from the spiritual world to escort Dhruva to Vaikuntha. They began to retell the story of Dhruva's life. You were only 5 years old when you had such determination. Drita, Brata, such eagerness to see the Lord, to realize the Lord, to serve the order of your guru. Therefore, within a matter of months, you achieved what even great, great sages and yogis cannot achieve in many, many, many lifetimes. Now, we are going to take you to that spiritual planet that is so rare and difficult to achieve. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlava prasantatma kotishvapi mahamune. Many people may attain mukti, liberation into the impersonal Brahman, freedom of all material sufferings. Many people may attain siddhas, supernatural mystical powers where they can actually perform what people consider miracles in this world. But devotional service in its pure state is sudurlabha. It is very, very rare. Krishna does not give it easy because Krishna Karshani, because devotional service to Krishna attracts Krishna. Krishna becomes the property of the devotee who gives his or her heart to his loving service. Just like Lord Chaitanya said of Vasudev Dutt, who was such a compassionate instrument of his mercy, he was willing to go to hell forever to live so that others could be with Krishna in the spiritual world. Lord Chaitanya again and again emphasized his heart. He said, I am Vasudev Dutt's property. My life is sold to him. I am Vasudev Dutt's man. Wherever he wants to sell me, I am sold. He said about Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya said, I am a prisoner in his heart. Yes, devotion, when it is sincere, conquers Krishna. So Krishna does not give it easily. And in the spiritual world, everyone is in that state. Krishna is conquering everyone and everyone is conquering Krishna. That is love in a pure state of spiritual consciousness. Sunanda and Nanda tells, you are going to that Vaikuntha Loka today. Come on, this airship, we will take you. So when he took his first step, death personified stood before him. Death is all powerful in this world. Krishna says, I am death personified. We see so many big, big, proud conquerors in this world. Alexander, Napoleon, Hitler, in modern times, so many great presidents and prime ministers and athletes. But ultimately, they are all totally conquered by death. Therefore, death is all-powerful. So death personified. How many of you would like to see death personified? Just stood in an embodied form before Dhruva Maharaj. And because Dhruva Maharaj was so fixed in humble dependence on the Supreme Lord, because Dhruva was so much taking shelter of the Lord within his heart, he had no fear of death. Bajahure manasri nandanandana abhayat charanaravindare. He was beyond all fear. He actually stepped on the head of death, used the head of death as the stepping stone to board the airplane to Vaikuntha. And death personified was happy to take this position under Dhruva's lotus feet. For that humble devotee who takes shelter of the Lord, by the Lord's mercy, Daivi Heshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya Mama Vamyapapajante Mayameta Tarantite, we can conquer death. Now, if Krishna says that he is death personified, nobody could conquer death unless Krishna empowers us by his sweet mercy to do so. What a life! Seeing God at the age of 5, ruling the world without any competition for 36,000 years, going to Badrik Ashram, performing perfect austerities, awakening pure love for God. The intimate associates of Vishnu come down from the spiritual world to take you. Quite an intoxicating situation, is it not? But Dhruva, the humility of his heart, was thinking not of his going to Vaikuntha. He was thinking of the welfare of his poor mother, Suniti. What about her? It was she that first gave me the direction to go to the forest to worship Lord Krishna. He had such gratitude. Please consider, Suniti didn't give him ornamented instructions. She didn't tell him all about the various angas or limbs of the path of bhakti. You know, there's sadhana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, raganuga bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti. She didn't tell him all about the philosophy of the Gita, the distinction between matter and spirit and the nature of karma and the nature of time and the nature of the absolute truth and the pastimes of the spiritual world and the jivas relationship with all of these incredible situations. She was just a simple mother who was in a state of the greatest trauma, the greatest crisis of her life. She was utterly depressed. She was suffering worse than Dhruva. To see her son in such a state of total agony put her in hundreds of times worse agony than him. And all she could do is tell him that, you know, only God can save you. Only God could fulfill your desire. And sages find him in the forest. That's all she said. Her instruction to Dhruva probably didn't take more than half a minute. Yes? That's what she gave him, that half a minute of little instruction. And it happened 36,000 years before. But Dhruva was remembering it when he was about to go to Vaikuntha. 36,000 years before, his mother spoke one sentence to him. And he was remembering with such deep, intense gratitude that he felt that it was unholy for him to go to Vaikuntha without his mother. If not for her, I would have nothing spiritual. That was the gratitude of his heart. This is bhakti. Without a grateful heart, the heart is hard. And even the best seeds of knowledge, even the best seeds of mercy, cannot really grow in a hard heart. The heart is like a field. Even if you put the best seed in dry, hard ground, will it grow? Will it take root? Very, very difficult, if at all. So if we are proud, arrogant, and ungrateful, even if we get so much knowledge, the roots of devotion do not enter our heart. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he was the most learned man on earth. His brother-in-law, Gopinathacharya, understood he wasn't recognizing Lord Chaitanya. He said, you know, you have all this knowledge, immense knowledge of the scriptures, but there's no devotion growing in your heart is like an old, dry oil cake. Now, you know when you eat something, when there's rasam, when there's juice, mellow, then it makes it taste very nice. Yes? But when something is really dry, there's no taste. Nothing. Dry land. Nothing can grow. Gratitude. Humility and gratitude. These two qualities make the heart soft and fertile. Then when the seed of knowledge, the seed of devotion, the seeds of mercy fall, they immediately take a great effect because they please the Lord. When we are grateful to those who help us in our Krishna consciousness, we're grateful to Krishna because they were all instruments of Krishna. Mad bhakta puja vedika. Krishna says, if you don't honor my devotees, you cannot honor me. It's kanishta adhikari. To see the deity in the temple and be a very, very staunch pujari and perform all the rules and regulations very nicely. But if you're not honoring with a humble and grateful heart those who Krishna loves, then he's not very pleased with your service. It's all superficial. It's all external. We must love those who he loves. To show gratitude to the devotees is to show gratitude to God, because they are manifesting his mercy. They are his vehicles, his instruments. So yes, a person who is actually sincere in Krishna consciousness will be so grateful even to the most insignificant favor that a person has given 36,000 years before, a devotee will remember that and be grateful. That is a fact. If a person gives us Krishna consciousness, even if they have difficulties, how could we ever think negatively? They have helped us. That's what really matters. We may have to adjust, you know, our situation accordingly, but what really matters is what they've given to me. That's eternal. They've connected me to Krishna. Any devotee who has ever helped you in your Krishna consciousness, whatever may happen to that devotee, we should always be grateful to that. We should always be praying for the most auspicious destiny for those devotees. How could we forget? That is the heart of a Vaishnava. Vaishnavas are not materially political. Vaishnavas are not vengeful. A Vaishnava is trying to be everyone's well-wisher. And a Vaishnava is grateful to anyone who on any level, in any way, has ever helped me to become Krishna conscious. And when we become actually advanced Vaishnavas, we're even grateful to the people who try to destroy us, because they're also helping us to become Krishna conscious, whether they know it or not, whether it's deliberate or not. Somehow or other, Krishna is using them to help me become Krishna conscious. We can be grateful for that also. Grateful to Krishna coming through them. So yes, essentially, as we make true advancement in Krishna consciousness, we're actually grateful in every situation of life to whatever comes upon us, because we know it's all coming ultimately from Krishna to help us. And that gratitude gives us joy and inner fulfillment. When we forget the favors that have been given to us, or when we act negative to negativity, it makes our heart become hard. It's actually painful. It's a type of suffering. Prahlad Maharaj was in bliss forgiving his father. Haridas Thakur was in bliss forgiving the executioners. Of course, we must do the needful in the world to do our particular service. It's like that Mr. Nair in Juhu. He was putting so much intense impediments in Prabhupada's path. Prabhupada put the deities and promised the deities this place, and he was trying to take it away, and Prabhupada battled against him for years for the service of Krishna, like Arjuna. And ultimately, when Mr. Nair left his body just by some heart attack or whatever, Prabhupada said, Lord Nrsingadev has taken him. Hare Krishna. So if Lord Nrsingadev took him, it's quite auspicious, actually. Prabhupada was everyone's well-wisher, because ultimately, and then Prabhupada smiled and said, but it was a good fight. For Krishna, he was grateful. So yes, you know, at the beginning of his spiritual life, 36,000 years before, his mother just spoke one sentence. And Dhruva Maharaj is remembering his poor mother. And think about Suniti's situation. It was the greatest trauma she endured in her whole life. And it was actually 36,000 years later going to be the situation which opened the doors to the spiritual world. Yes? As they say in the West, you cannot judge a book by looking at its cover. We cannot simply evaluate what a situation or a thing is by its face value. You know, what is Krishna trying to do here? Do you think when Suniti saw her little boy Dhruva devastated, his heart was cracked, his mind was crushed, he was weeping, he was trembling, he felt totally alone and betrayed, he was ready to go into the jungle, and not come back until he attained a kingdom greater than his father and grandfather? What do you think this poor mother is thinking? 5-year-old boy. She was in so much pain, so much anguish. It describes her physical features were withering up. She was pale. She was crying. She was trembling. She was suffering. Do you think at that moment when she was in that predicament, she could understand that actually this situation is going to open the doors to eternal life of bliss and knowledge for me? She didn't conceive of that. That this is the most auspicious time of my life, because this time of my life is going to actually be the seed of my supreme liberation as well as my son's. No, she was just dealing with the crisis. Similarly, we do not know what seed of mercy is hidden within the ground of the particular condition that comes upon us in this world. Sometimes the worst possible thing could come upon us. And Krishna is actually arranging the ultimate opportunity through that. And we can't see it. But if we just act with dignity, with integrity, with proper spiritual values, like Suniti did, then Krishna reveals the great treasure of opportunity. She said the right thing at the right time in the biggest crises of her life, and 36,000 years later, she reaped the result of going to Vaikuntha. Yes, Dhruva Maharaj was remembering his mother, his poor mother, Suniti, who suffered so bad. Suniti was neglected. Suniti was mistreated. But because of her integrity and her faith in God, she attained the ultimate goal. Dhruva is honoring and respecting his mother at the time of his departure from this material world. Bhishma Dev in Mahabharata teaches Yudhisthira in the presence of Krishna that if a woman is honored and respected properly, then the devatas, the demigods, shower all auspiciousness and prosperity in that situation. However, if a woman is dishonored and disrespected, then all of our religious activities, rituals, and everything else we do will not be beneficial. When Bhishma said that, Draupadi was present. Draupadi said, "Well, Bhishma Dev, how could you say that? When I was being stripped by Dushasana in the court of the Kurus, you were there. I was being disrespected. I was being dishonored. And you were there, and you did nothing. Now you're speaking like this." And Bhishma said, "Yes. And because I did not honor and respect you at that moment, that is why I am defeated, laying in this battlefield, in a bed of arrows, pierced by hundreds of arrows through my body. This was the result of my disrespect for you." So Dhruva Maharaj is offering his honor, his respect, and his gratitude to his mother. Sunanda Nanda understood his heart. He didn't even say anything. He was just thinking that, thinking of Suniti. And they said, "Look over there." He looked up in the sky. His mother was already on a Vaikuntha airplane, ahead of him going to the spiritual world. Why? Because she helped Dhruva in his time of need, and in reciprocation, by Dhruva's remembrance of her, she was able to go back to Godhead. That is love. That is reciprocation. And in this way, Dhruva Maharaj, through the pages of Bhagavatam, is revealing what is really important. Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Most important is we remain faithful. Matras parashas tu konte asitos na sukha dukada agama phayano nityas tams titikshvasu bharata. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and its disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O son of Kunti. And one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Now, Prabhupada explains what it really means to tolerate. In regard to last night, this word titiksha or tolerance, it's interesting. Most of the time when Prabhupada talks about tolerating, he doesn't talk about enduring snow and ice and heat. Most of the time when Prabhupada talks about tolerating, he talks about forgiving. Forgiving injustices. That's really what tolerance is about. Something very positive, dealing with a negativity in a positive way. That's tolerance. Enduring in that way. Yes? So tamsta tiksha svabharata. Prabhupada also explains that tolerance means remaining faithful, remaining loyal, remaining sincere in executing our duties, even in spite of so many impediments. Yes? Just like that professor asked Prabhupada, Krishna told Arjuna, asochanan vasochastvam pragyavaram stabashse kathasuma kathasu sa nanu sochati panditaha. You are speaking like a learned person, but you are not learned, Arjuna. A learned man does not lament either for the living or the dead. Yes? So on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Abhimanyu, who was the son of Subhadra and Arjuna, was weeping. Arjuna was weeping when he died. Subhadra was weeping too. Now, Subhadra is not a human being. Subhadra is the Shakti of the Lord. She's the pleasure potency of the Lord. She's the Lord's sister. Hare Krishna. She was crying. And Arjuna was so much crying. He was so, my son is dead. He's only 16 years old. Hare Krishna. So this professor asked Prabhupada why Arjuna was lamenting.
He's tamstitikshasu bharata, he's supposed to tolerate.
Arjuna said, Prabhupada explained, it is natural for a father and a mother to have affection for their child. That is not against Krishna consciousness. It's not contrary to Krishna consciousness to love your child and care for your child. You're supposed to love and care for every living entity. What to speak of the personality that Krishna has personally, specifically entrusted in your care. Of course you love your child. You know, Prabhupada was Paramhamsa, but when his father, Gaur Mohan Day, left this world, he shaved his head and was very affectionately performing the last rites. He loved his father, especially. So devotees don't have hard hearts toward others, they have very soft hearts. So naturally Arjuna is going to cry when who would Arjuna be if his son's dead? He said, he's not his body, huh? Let's go on with it. Of course, Arjuna was fully realized that he's not his body. But still, there was a relationship with him. That eternal spirit soul in that body had a relationship with him. And Arjuna was fully aware that the soul went back to Godhead, no problem. But still, that relationship was broken. That service of Arjuna as the father was taken away. And therefore the affection and the love and the ability to express and exchange with that eternal soul on that level was taken away. And that hurt. Arjuna cried. But Prabhupada told the professor that he tolerated it. He was not disturbed. Because his loyalty, his faithfulness, and his service to Krishna carried on. He didn't give up the fight. He carried on his service. So to not be disturbed means that our faithful service to the Lord is not disturbed, despite whatever may come upon us. And that's actually how we become transcendental. We have to maintain the integrity, the purity, and the ethics of our particular service. And our service is not just what we do, but how we do it. Prabhupada's books don't tell us so much what to do as how to do it. Yes? If all it was what to do is all that was required to know, Bhagavad Gita would have been one sloka. Arjuna, fight. Yes? That's all. But the 700 slokas of Arjuna, of Bhagavad Gita, is telling Arjuna how to fight, in what consciousness to fight, in what spirit to perform your duty. Yes? So difficult situations may come that we really don't understand. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to us? Why is this happening to him or her? Why? How? I don't understand. It's just, it's not fair. It's not my understanding of mercy. Yes? It's an injustice. These things will come upon all of us in various ways in our life. So no, we may not understand properly. But if we want to do real good for ourselves, if we want to do real good for others, and if we want to really please Krishna, we must carry on performing our prescribed activities in Krishna consciousness with the dignity of a Vaishnava. Actually, whether it's the karmic world or the path of bhakti, our future is depending on simply on how we react to the situations that come upon us. Yes? To materialistic persons, they're getting the reactions of karma. And their future depends on how they react to that karmic situation. They're either going to produce more good karma or more bad karma by the reaction to the past karmas. Devotees, same thing. Our future in Krishna consciousness, our destiny, is dependent on how we're reacting to certain situations that come upon us every day. Sometimes good karma, Krishna allows our good karma to come. And how are we reacting? Are we becoming proud? Are we becoming arrogant? I'm better than others. Or we're getting certain things. Are we now I can enjoy? Previously I was a brahmachari and I had nothing except a pair of kopans and an old dhoti. And I was performing severe austerities, doing whatever I was told. And now, look what's happening. I'm getting money, I'm getting popularity, I'm getting so much nice facilities I can enjoy for Krishna. After all, you know, God put us in this world to enjoy, so why not? It's an offense to deprive God the privilege of watching us enjoy. So the mind can think so many things, especially devotees, because they are so philosophical and they understand all these things. So they could make the most incredible philosophical justifications to do anything and be convincing to themselves and sometimes others too. So sometimes this is good karma that's coming, and how are we responding to it? And then there's the bad karma. Krishna allows it to come to us, but he sanctions. Where somebody's, everything's taken away from us. Our health just fails. And we lose everything. And people are mistreating us. People are not bowing to our feet. They're trampling our heads with their feet. How am I going to respond? We may have to fight for Krishna, but we shouldn't fight for ourselves. We may protect our own dignity for the sake of Krishna, but it shouldn't be out of ego. It should be out of service. Yes? How are we responding? If people blaspheme us and we blaspheme them back, then what's happening? The reaction is we're just getting more entangled. If somebody disappoints us, how are we responding? Are we just losing faith and giving up? Are we critical, or are we forgiving and faithful to the path of bhakti in that situation? Yes, whatever comes upon us, our future is how we react. So that is why hearing is so important, shravanam. It's the foundation to all of our spiritual progress. Kirtanam is the most important process, Lord Chaitanya told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But shravanam, hearing, is the foundation for all of our spiritual advancement. If we don't hear properly, we don't know how to chant, we don't know how to remember, we don't know how to serve. So Bhagavad Gita philosophically explains to us how to maintain our spiritual integrity through all different situations of life and never give up the fight for Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam tells the most beautiful historical examples of how great souls have done it, and ultimately culminates in Krishna's eternal pastimes in Vrindavan. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Yes, Braj Leela Devi Mataji. Thank you. Mataji, you are a very excellent counselor, and you're trying to encourage me, and I'm grateful to you for that. Thank you.
You were saying that you were mentioning about being loyal and still with our duties, understanding of being faithful with our duties. And these principles, we hear them constantly. And theoretically, I can, maybe personally, I can say that I understand them theoretically. However, I'm asking a person, in my own experience, I know that deeply a child, 5-year-old, often comes in my own consciousness, where I only want to choose. Because that 5-year-old child is loud. and I was wondering, isn't that
Thank you. Is that a question or?
That's a question.
I thought it was.
What to do with that child that comes? When that child, because I think the pasadena you're sharing, I hear 36,000 years. I hear satyuga. I hear progression in the child, and eventually comes to this place of taking his mother back to God. And I look in my own life in Krishna consciousness, and I see, you know, 25 years, and I see Jiva coming every year, moment of the day, in terms of wanting certain types of reciprocation, and leaving that thing, or maybe knowing, yes, you must be the Jiva, and all these things are constant. So I'm understanding there's something lacking, something missing. Please tell me.
You are simply wonderful, Mataji. I'm not sure if I really understand your question, so please forgive me for that. But what is all important is our sincerity, because Krishna is the witness within our heart of that sincerity. And if we are sincere, sincerity can be defined in many ways. Some attributes of sincerity are honesty, without duplicity, before the Lord within our heart and others. Sincerity means that earnestness to tolerate all of the internal and external impediments that come before the path and carry on to please Krishna, to please Guru, to please the Acharyas and the Vaishnavas, and especially the sincerity to take shelter of Krishna's name. Dhruva Maharaj followed that one teaching of his Guru. He performed austerities. The austerities were only to facilitate the greatest impact that he would gain from remembering the Lord, serving the deity form, and chanting the holy names. Yes? Actually, in Parampara, Srila Prabhupada is the disciplic representative of Narada Muni. And he's really giving us the same instruction that Narada Muni gave Dhruva. If Prabhupada, at the time of initiation, made us vow that we would, for 1 month, only eat leaves that fell from the trees, and then at that month, you don't get a big break fast. It was increasing. It's not that I just eat the leaves that have fallen from the trees for 1 month, then I get a big feast to break the fast. No. After that month, you just take water every so many days. And after that month, you only take a breath of air once a month. And you have to stand on 1 foot in the forest. And at the same time, constantly chant Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, which was the mantra of the Satyayuga. So Narada Muni told him to chant the names of the Lord, to serve the deity form of the Lord, and to remember the Lord, right? And to perform these austerities. We can't do it. Prabhupada, according to time and circumstance, gave the exact same instruction as Narada Muni.
Follow the four regulative principles. In the age of Kali, to follow the four regulative principles is practically equal to standing on one toe for a month, only taking one breath of air. Hare Krishna. Yes? It means controlling the mind and senses from the external environment. And what else did he give us? He gave us the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Iti sorashakam nam nam kalikal masha nashanam nata parataropaya sarva vedeshu drishyati. All the Vedic literatures have come to the conclusion that in this age of Kali Yuga there is no better medicine, there is no better method of attaining ultimate perfection than the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. And Prabhupada taught us how to worship the deity and how to serve the Lord in a personal way. So yes, Prabhupada gave us the identical instructions that Narada Muni gave to Dhruva, according to our capacity to follow. If we just sincerely and honestly and earnestly with a spirit of servitude and humility fight for what's right for Prabhupada and Krishna by following these principles and doing service, then Krishna will be pleased and carry us through all obstacles. Yes, we should get great inspiration from Dhruva Maharaj. He was 5 years old and he has done this. Let me remain faithful. And that's really all we have to do, is just remain faithful. We don't have to be big acharyas. We don't have to be big managers. We don't have to have big positions. All we really have to do is just remain faithful. Faithful to the orders and faithful to the service. Faithful to the four regulative principles, faithful to chanting our rounds with attentiveness, faithful to trying to be a humble servant, and remain loyal to the mission of Guru and Krishna. If we could just do that, Krishna will give us everything in return. That is how we can follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj and do it with a grateful heart. We cannot imitate Dhruva, but we could take the spirit of the essence of what his life represents to us, and Prabhupada explains in the purports, and just honestly try to follow. And even if we slip and fall sometimes, just pick ourselves up and keep trying to follow in those footprints. Just remain faithful, remain sincere, grateful, chant Hare Krishna and serve. It's so simple. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I said it anyway. Does that help? Maharaj, did you understand the question? Did I not address it? This is where you learn your gracious nature from, is Maharaj.
I think about four kinds of women.
It will be a cultural revelation.
Oh, he's running something high.